you're joining us today as we are kicking off a new series for August, looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. In Christian circles, it has been formulated and created this creed, this belief, this understanding that the God that we worship is made up of three distinct people. There is what we come to call God the Father. Then there's God the Son, whom we know as Jesus Christ. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. These three persons are distinct, and yet we have come to understand and believe them to be one God. Three in one. The church word that has come to be used to describe this relationship, this three in one, is the Trinity. You will never find the word Trinity in your Bibles. No one ever refers to God or the Trinity relationship. But by the way God speaks, by the way Jesus speaks, and Paul, and the work of this third person, the Holy Spirit, they just came to understand and believe that there were three distinct persons making up one Almighty God. And so this month of August, as we're getting ready to kick into the fall, we're going to look at, more specifically, this third person, the Holy Spirit. And the reason is because for some in Christian circles, because it is called the Holy Spirit, people, humans, are kind of weary or unsure about the Holy Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I can relate to God the Father because most of us know the term Father, and I can understand Jesus because we read about him in the Bible and he was a person, but the Holy Spirit, how can I wrap my mind around that? It's kind of confusing, and it can be kind of supernatural and Halloweenish, and we add our own things to it, and so I want to explore this so that we can have a clearer, if at all possible, understanding as we move forward with this Holy Spirit. So to kick us off, there's a story about a Christian recording artist who went into the recording studio to record an album. And if you've ever been to or listened to a CD or an album of a musician, they go in and it's kind of like a soundproof room, and they've got this microphone and these earphones, and there's a sound technician in the back as they record. This Christian artist began her first song, and the music started going, and she began to sing. And within a few moments of singing, she says, stop the music. We can't do this. He's not here. And the sound technician, you know, turns on his mic. Who's not here? And the recording artist says, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, I don't feel him. He's not here. So she invited all her friends, and they came in, and they prayed for God's presence. They laid hands on the equipment. They took oil and anointed the equipment and prayed over it that God's anointing and presence would come into the recording studio. So after some time of prayer, her friends leave, and she gets back up into the microphone, and she begins her song a second time. Stop. Still not here. I'm not feeling it. The Spirit is not in that. I cannot sing. I cannot give this to God unless he is here. So more prayer, more hands on the equipment, more oil, because that's the biblical thing to do. You put oil on things to ask God to come. Third time, she starts to sing. Nope. Stop. He's not here yet. More prayer. More oil. By this time, the sound technician is getting a little irritated. I mean, his equipment is getting greasy because of all the oil that is being poured on his stuff. And in his irritation, he looks down at the sound board, and he notices that the reverb in the singer's monitor is turned down. And so he very calmly turns the reverb up. Recording artist starts a fourth time, begins singing, and this time she says, Hallelujah! He is here! The Holy Spirit is here! Let's continue. And this poor sound technician, he just didn't have the heart to say, no, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's reverb. I added that stuff to your sound. It's very confusing, this Holy Spirit. It's mysterious. We're really kind of confused over what exactly the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. If you were growing up in the Christian church, you've been invited to ask Jesus into your heart. How many of you have ever heard that phrase? All you need to do is ask Jesus into your heart. Any of you have heard this phrase? If you ask for Jesus into your heart, then why do I need the Holy Spirit if Jesus is in my heart? And so that can lead to confusion. What is going on with this Holy Spirit? There are so many different things that people, well-intentioned, well-meaning, attribute to the Holy Spirit that may not necessarily be from God. How do humans relate to a spirit? Some other questions that we can ask is how can we tell the difference between the Spirit of God stirring in your spirit, stirring in your heart, and simply indigestion? I have known people who have said, you know, you just wait for the Spirit will open doors for you. And I know people who have seen so-called open doors. Ah, the Spirit is moving, and basically walk into a brick wall. Not literally, but you know, as they, oh, this is God opening doors. Bam! Nope, that actually wasn't God opening doors for you. What does it sound like when the Spirit speaks to you? Have you ever heard people referring to God spoke to me, the Spirit spoke to me, and I knew that I was... What does that sound like? What is the Spirit of God supposed to be doing? We're going to look through these letters of our Bible, writings from the disciples, those who followed Jesus, Paul, and we're going to use this as our guidepost, as leading us to not fully know, but better understand. So it's not as mysterious. There's still a level of mystery with the Spirit because it is Spirit. So turn with me. We're going to look at this first one. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. If you want to stand with me as we read. Also, if everything goes according to plan, the words are going to be on the monitor behind me, so you can follow along. You can read that as well if you've brought your Bible. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. You can follow along in your Bible. You can follow along on the screen behind me. In fact, I'm actually going to start in verse 15 because I think this is key. It's not on the screen, but it's in your Bibles. Verse 15, John, the follower of Jesus, he writes this. He says, Jesus writes or says these words, "If you love me," Jesus says to his disciples, "if you love me, you will obey what I command." Now, picking up in verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Now, skip down to verse 26. "But the counselor," Jesus continues, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Let's pray. Lord, as we begin this journey together of exploring the Holy Spirit, Father, may you refresh in us the desire to know you fully, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. May you remove from us any kind of man-made assumptions placed upon you. And may we fully be guided by your Spirit, your direction, as we read from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what we just read here, this is Jesus' words to his followers, just before he is arrested, just before he is sentenced to die by crucifixion. He is writing to his followers, this is what's going to happen. He's giving his followers, these men who are with him, he's giving them an idea of how they are going to be able to move forward once his time with them physically is at an end. Later on he says, I have to go. If I don't go, then this helper will not come. So it's better that I go to be with the Father so that the Spirit can come and you can do greater things than you've seen done while Jesus was physically with them. So I wanted to go back and read the first that verse 15, because that is key. Sometimes we can pick and choose the verses, but I wanted to bring that out because Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my command." And so we have to understand that there is obedience that takes place in this relationship with God. And what are Jesus' commands? Well, he kind of gives you this earlier in chapter 13, in verse 34, where he says, "A new command I give you, love one another." So by obediently following Jesus in his kingdom of God, the thing that he inaugurated, the things that he said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, all of that in obedience, Jesus says, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." His words in this verse were, "Another counselor to help you, to guide you in living in obedience." You're not going to be on your own. You're not going to be sitting there going, "Oh my goodness, what do we do? Jesus isn't here anymore. Who's our guy?" He's sending another counselor. The Holy Spirit will be sent to help you in your obedience to Jesus' commands. And he says that God will send them another counselor who will be with them forever. Words of encouragement, words that are meant to calm and soothe the idea that you're not going to be forever. It's these things, words of Jesus, that his disciples, like John, would look back on. In the moment when Jesus is being arrested, when Jesus is being crucified, and you're just full of dread, it's all chaos, and you're looking at your rabbi, your teacher, and he's being destroyed, in the moment you're filled with fear. But as Jesus says, the Spirit will remind you, the Spirit will take you back to the words that I've said, and you can't help but think of John, who wrote this letter. And he's like, "Okay, I get it. The Spirit's reminding me. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit is going to come, and he's going to be with us forever." And he calls him another counselor. The word counselor in our Bibles, if you have an NIV Bible, it's full of deep, rich meaning beyond just whatever you think of when you think of counselor. Other Bible translations, if you don't use the NIV, you use maybe King James or the New Living or whatever translations you use to read, some Bible translations refer to another counselor as an advocate. God will send another advocate. There's another term that they use, another helper. All of these things are basically true. The word that counselor comes from, yes, the Holy Spirit is a counselor, is an advocate, is a helper, and they use all these different words because the original term that Jesus uses, it's so much more deeper than simply saying counselor. There's so much more meaning behind that word. When we think of counselor, if you're like me, maybe you're not, there's a couple different avenues we can take. When we think of counselor, maybe you think of a therapist. Someone that you go to who listens, someone who listens to you, observes, and then offers advice, gives you steps, gives you a plan, when we think of a counselor. Sometimes you may think of a school guidance counselor, someone who prepares the way, creates a schedule for you as you move forward, someone who listens, who responds. And that's partly true. You do see the Holy Spirit working in that way as you read what the Spirit will do. But the counselor word that Jesus uses, it's much more deeper than that. It includes like a guidance counselor or a therapist and what they do, but it's so much more. It also means something like a lawyer, where when you listen and you look at law TV shows, sometimes a lawyer is referred to as a counselor. right? You hear, you know, counselor, do you have any more questions? Or counselor, call your first witness. So lawyers are also referred to as counselors. So the Holy Spirit is like a therapist, a guidance counselor, and a lawyer? How is that possible? And all of these deeper meanings with a counselor, a therapist, a school guidance counselor, a lawyer, that term counselor, it is someone who helps reveal or illuminate something. In this case, the Holy Spirit illuminates or reveals God, Jesus, and then applies that revelation, that illumination, to the needs of God's followers. Think of it this way. A lawyer helps illuminate or reveal parts of the law that a defendant needs to know. That's why they make the big bucks, because they've read the law, they understand it, and they reveal it to their client. They illuminate that part of the law to their client. That's why they're a counselor. A therapist reveals or illuminates what may be going on in someone's mind. You go to them because you don't know, I need help. And so a therapist, they get paid the big bucks because their job is to illuminate or reveal what is going on. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates, he reveals God to the needs of his followers. Jesus also says that this Holy Spirit, this counselor, is going to continue to do for his followers what Jesus himself did while he was with them. Jesus says, he will send you another counselor. And so the sheer fact that Jesus says another counselor, that points to the reality that there was a counselor before this one. So who was this other counselor that Jesus is referring to? And we get the understanding that it was Jesus himself. Jesus himself was that first counselor before this another counselor, because if you look back to the prophet of Isaiah, he was to write this, and it's a famous, well-known passage. Speaking about Jesus, we believe, the prophet Isaiah says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The key here is that he uses the term Wonderful Counselor. What did Jesus do? When Jesus was on this planet, when he was ministering, he was, as a counselor does, he was revealing to his people who God is. You want to know who God is and what God does? Look right here. He even says, the Father and I are one. What God the Father says, I say, I do. I can only do what God the Father calls me to do. We are one. When you think of God the Father, you see me. When you look at me, you see God the Father. Revealing, illuminating God. And so the Holy Spirit continues Jesus' mission. Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit will continue to work in those who come to believe in Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as Savior. Verse 26, Jesus said, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. It's important to understand Jesus is using that phrase, the counselor will be sent in my name, in the name of Jesus. Oftentimes, Christians finish their prayers in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we do that? What's the reasoning behind this in Jesus' name? That phrase means you do something under their authority or with the full weight of that person's influence. In the medieval times, knights or workers would go and would ask things in the name of the king, and they would name the king. Sometimes we can use it today when we talk about, this is for, you know, my dad, or maybe you name drop some people, because that their name goes hand in hand with their authority, their influence, the memory of that person. Oh, you're so-and-so's kid. The memory continues, the authority. And so that is what Jesus is referring to. The Holy Spirit who comes will come under in my authority. We're one and the same. I come in the name of Jesus. We pray these things. We pray this when we finish prayers in the name of Jesus. We mean we pray these things under the authority of Jesus. May it come under his authority with the full weight of Jesus behind it. May we not be out of that influence. And so that is key, that the Spirit is not some separate force doing whatever he wants, but it's all one and the same. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit is come. Verse 17 says that the Spirit is going to live with the followers and will be in them. Two uses of the words. He will be with them. He will be in you. It basically means the same thing. It implies a union. The Holy Spirit will be with, will be in. There is this intimate relationship. There is this combining. There is a relationship. You will not be alone. Jesus may not physically be with them, but that connection, that relationship will not be lessened due to the fact that the Spirit is going to be there. He will come in Jesus' name. He will continue the work that Jesus began, and it will allow even more people to participate and to partner in this work. Now, if you still have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 16, just a couple of chapters over. Jesus has some more words about this counselor who will come. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. I don't have it on the screen, so if you don't have your Bibles, I apologize. I could just say, hey, get a Bible and bring it next week. But John chapter 16, verse 7, he says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, I tell you the truth, it is good, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of guilt, in regard to sin, and righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In all this, the followers of Jesus, it's almost like hindsight. Because when you hear this for the first time, it's confusing. Wait, what? What do you mean? The Father's is yours and the Spirit's come. But in hindsight, Jesus tells him, you're gonna get it. You're going to realize this after the fact. The followers of Jesus came to realize that God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit are one. They're united. God sent Jesus to do for humanity what humanity could not do for itself, the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit is sent to continue that work in the lives of people, revealing and illuminating Jesus so that we can continue living in the kingdom of God while we're surrounded by the kingdom of the world. We just finished up the series on Philippians, where Paul is writing about we're to live as people who are living in the kingdom of God, that which Jesus inaugurated, he showed, he revealed, and he taught. And now the Spirit then comes alongside and continues that work. Now that followers of Jesus are living it, now continue in this, and the Spirit is guiding you, he's directing you, he's revealing, he's convicting, he's pointing the way, so that while we're surrounded by what is called the kingdom of the world, we can continue to live in the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit, some of the things that he does is he convicts us of our sin. When we begin to venture out and think, you know what, this stuff in the kingdom of the world, it looks pretty appetizing, it looks pretty interesting, and we step out, the Spirit is there to convict, the Spirit is there to put a pause, to remind, remember the words of Jesus. The Spirit guides us in all truth. And once again, this points back to Jesus, because Jesus himself says, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus did. It reminds us of what Jesus said. And one of the greatest places that we can read that and understand that is found in the Gospels, what we call the Gospels. It's the first four letters of our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four different letters, four different people writing their experiences, writing what they have heard about this person, Jesus. The gospel is another way of saying the good news. This is great news. It's not how to. It's not a thing that you read of how I do this. It's just, this is good news. This is presented to you as information, as reality, as fact. Jesus came, the gospels tell us, all four of them. Jesus came. He inaugurated God's kingdom, God's agenda, what it looks like to live under God's will, under God's authority. Jesus lived it. Jesus died on the cross, and by the power of God, Jesus was raised from the dead. This is the good news. And the Holy Spirit illuminates that message. It reveals that gospel, that good news within us in order to spread that around our world, in our homes, with our peers, at school, in work, in our churches, in our community. In the second book of the Bible is the story of the Exodus. It's titled Exodus. You have Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to that second book, Exodus, and we'll look at chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35 tells another story. The sense of God as Spirit, God's presence. Often the Holy Spirit is connected to the presence of God, like the poor Christian artist wanting to feel the presence of God. She was looking for the Holy Spirit to be there. In Exodus chapter 34, we read of an experience that a guy named Moses had. Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 5, we read this. It says, Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. This passage, it reveals the sense of God's presence and the awareness of who he is and what he has done, his saving acts, the awareness of who God is, what he has done, and his presence went together. They go hand in hand. God shows up, says his name, this is who I am, this is what I do. This is often why when we begin our times together, I say things like, we sing these songs because they are telling us who God is. We are responding to who God is and what He has done. That which the Holy Spirit reveals to us. His name and His acts, who He is and what He has done. The Holy Spirit then declares God's name in our hearts. The Lord, the Lord. Illuminating the cross on which Jesus died, the Holy Spirit rehearsing that mercy toward us as we sang about this morning. A working out of a holiness, a justice, a love. This is all what the Holy Spirit is entrusted to do. So what we do then is we read these first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the Gospels, the good news of Jesus. We read this, and as we do this, as we read about Jesus, as we study, as we talk, the Holy Spirit illuminates that gospel message within us. The Spirit works the words that you read, and then that becomes God's voice to you. Another way of explaining this is it's a relationship. What the Holy Spirit does is reveals and illuminates. It reveals the reality of a relationship with God by reminding you, by guiding you. The Spirit, it brings it alive. And the best way that I can illustrate this, I'm one who tends to be very, I almost said I'm very mental, and that may be true, but I mentally think things. And you can ascribe, you know, yes, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord. But when it becomes real, beyond simply feeling it, think of it this way. Imagine you're walking, you're a kid. Imagine you're a kid. You may even be an adult, whatever. You're walking with a parent down the street. You know they're your parent. Their mom, their dad. Or let's go even further. They're your grandparents. You're walking down the street with grandma or grandpa, and you're walking down the street. You know that they are mom or dad, grandma and grandpa, and life is good. You're walking with them. But then all of a sudden, dad turns to you, picks you up and says, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I am so excited that you're here, that we're walking together, and gives you a hug. Did your relationship with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa change at all? No, they're still mom or dad or grandma, grandpa. But something happened where you feel it. There's a depth to it beyond just, oh, I know. Now I felt it. Now the words have somehow physically washed over me, and the words just fill me with that reality. This is what the Holy Spirit does. As you read the words of Jesus, of God, Paul's instructions, when you read this about Jesus, yes, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, but when the Spirit is allowed to illuminate that, it's like God and Jesus just grabs you and says, you are my son. You are my daughter. I have done this so we can have a right relationship, so that you can feel it, so that you can know it in the depths of your bones. You are loved, you are forgiven, and this is real. This is the work of the Spirit. He helps make it real. Will you stand with me as we close? Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been a Christian for a long time, and you know the Holy Spirit, but it needs to go beyond just a mental agreement. Yes, I agree with this. I believe this. But Spirit, would you make this real? I've read the Gospels. I've read my Bible cover to cover. God, I need it to be real. I need it to go deep in the marrow of my bones. Because I think every one of us would admit there are times, there are seasons, there are years and decades where, man, life just beats the tar out of you because of circumstances, because of decisions. And every once in a while, almost every day, you need that reminder. Yeah, I know my Father loves me. But to have the Spirit bring that out as you read the words of Christ, as you hear the name of God, as we sing the songs of what He does, what He did, and who He is. May you receive that this morning. Spirit, would you come? Would you illuminate? Would you reveal? As I read your word, as I interact with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. As we continue to explore this person of the Holy Spirit. For some, maybe you need to break away the fear, the uncertainty, and allow us just to dive in. For some who may have grown jaded and calloused around the heart, and you know, you hear Bible stories and things, it's lost its realness, its reality. Spirit, would you come with a refreshing wind in our hearts and our minds? May we look to you for guidance. May we look to you to convict us when we've gone outside the kingdom of God. May you illuminate and reveal our relationship to you because of the death of Jesus on a cross and his resurrection, our freedom found in Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray these things under his authority. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We will see you next Sunday. You're dismissed.